This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. Hey, listeners, it's me, host Matthew.
And it's also me, host Molly.
Molly is on parental leave at the moment, despite the fact that she's right here.
That's right. We are preparing for me to be on parental leave in early 2023, which is when you're listening to this. And so what we are doing is we are pulling some of our favorite bonus episodes from the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, they were calling it Spilled Milk from the Vault.
Spilled Milk from the Vault. So please enjoy the following episode, which was originally released as a bonus episode for paying subscribers only, but now you get to enjoy it.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is a Spilled Milk bonus episode for subscribers only. That's you.
That is you. In fact, welcome to you.
I keep, I just dropped my agenda on the floor. This is going great so far. And we're back.
Hey, look at that. It is, you know what? This is our 20th bonus episode. I don't know how it could be possible, but
I know, like, if someone subscribed right now, I almost feel sorry for them that they have to wade through so many bonus episodes.
I know, and they won't know which ones are really good or not.
Spilled Milk Jr. is a great. Good one. This one is really good so far.
It's great. What about the one that we did where we talked about singles?
That's probably my favorite one. I don't think anyone enjoyed it as much as we did, but I would love to listen to it again. I'd like to watch Singles again, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, hold on, though. Let's tell them what this one is. This episode is about childhood fears. That is the theme of today's episode, which, listener, you may have noticed that that really doesn't have anything to do with food. It might.
No, why are we doing this topic? I don't remember. It's been on the bonus episodes list for a while.
Did producer Abby suggest this?
I think it was just like a thing we were talking about at one point, and someone said, hey, that could be a bonus episode.
I think that was maybe me.
I think it might have been you.
Weird. Okay.
You're the culprit.
I am. So this episode, I think it might wind up being entirely memory lane because...
That makes sense.
I think we need to set out here with a definition of childhood fears.
Yeah, for sure. So I was thinking about this when I was like prepping for this episode last night and realizing that, like, there are some childhood fears that are, like, actually scary, like, not just as kids, but, like, remain scary. And that's not what we're talking about, because then that would just be a depressing episode. Like, you know, when we were kids, like, there was, like, the movie The Day After. Do you remember this?
No.
About, like, it was, like, the day after the nuclear war. And so, like, everyone was scared of nuclear war when we were kids, but we're not going to talk about that in this episode, right?
What if we, I mean... Okay.
And what, like, if we found a way to make it hilarious? Right?
One of the fears I wanted to mention is something that I was particularly preoccupied by as a child. And it's not that the fear has gone away, but that I just don't worry about it as much. Like, it isn't. No?
Remember one time on a bonus episode, we had an actual lawyer or possibly judge present to adjudicate?
Yes. Yes. Maybe,
I don't remember that person's name, but hopefully they're still a subscriber and maybe they can weigh in on whether your childhood fear is legitimate, is like a legitimate topic for this episode.
I'm going to wait for them to call in right now while we're taping this in our closet, in my closet and your living room. I mean, how do we know how to proceed, Matthew?
Yeah, just call 1-976 spilled. If you call that, you'll probably get something else. Do 976 numbers still exist?
I only think of 900.
Yeah, I mean, it was similar.
Like the idea was hotline or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, like I so badly wanted to call one of those numbers
when
I was a teenager or like a pre-adolescent.
It was like a very prominent part of like my adolescent landscape.
Yeah,
totally. These numbers existed and people were calling them.
Right.
And now,
like,
as an
adult, I knew
I
would get in so much trouble if I did because
yes.
it would appear immediately on the phone bill. So I never did.
I think I once dialed one of the numbers and then hung up before
it could
connect.
Oh, I think I probably did too. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Matthew,
but
take
now
it away.
we can like confess our true confessions to each other for free right now.
Yes, let's do it. Nah,
okay.
Let's talk about childhood fears instead.
All right. Should I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. And,
ooh, that's so original, Matthew.
I know, but the thing that, like, every time I think about that, I think, like, you know, for years probably, like, I wanted a nightlight in my room, and now if you turned on a fucking
yes.
nightlight in my room,
yes,
I would be unable to sleep, and like I would get to a point after a couple hours where I'd be like, I need to murder whoever turned on this nightlight.
So June goes to sleep at night with a nightlight, which stays mm-hmm. on all night. And then also lately, and somebody's probably going to tell me this is a terrible idea, and I already know, so don't tell me. She wants to go to bed with a candle lit in her room.
That's so much worse than what I thought you were going
to
say.
She goes to bed by candlelight now.
Mm-hmm.
And
she likes to go to sleep holding a sparkler in each hand. So cute.
Oh, God, it makes her look so angelic. The halo of light around her face, the sparks in her hair.
Yeah. She wants to, like, just have a lit cigarette between her fingers. I mean, she's not smoking it, obviously.
She just likes the smell. It's
yeah.
very soothing to her. No, she likes to have a candle lit in her room at bedtime. And so Ash and I sneak in about 20 minutes after she's gone to bed and blow out the candle.
That is adorable.
Yeah, yeah.
What, is it like a scented candle?
No, it's like a taper candle, like we keep
okay.
on the dining room table. She likes to choose the color, and it's in like a, you know, a candlestick on her shelf.
That's like very, you know, like 1900 house.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish we had one of those like legit like 1900 candle thingies. Where you,
oh,
you
like
know,
with a, that like has like a teacup handle kind of?
Yes. Yeah. Where
yes.
you can stick your finger in it and you carry it up the stairs. You
I
know,
bet if
to
you
bed.
Go on Etsy, you could have one
yes.
of those tomorrow.
Maybe our listeners will send us one the same way they didn't send me a new dishwasher.
Wow. You're really like making a lot of fans among like the people when
am.
You complain about how you didn't get a free dishwasher.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but no, it's probably, you're right. Probably a lot of our, I mean, especially subscribers live in drafty old castles.
Yes. Yes.
Throughout Europe, Asia, like there's castles everywhere.
They're all wearing nightcaps and going
yep.
up like a dark spiral
That's
staircase
right.
to bed.
That's what goes along with that kind of candle holder.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
you,
right.
Yeah, you have to have a, like a gently, or like a, either a spiral staircase or like a gently curving one.
Isn't that like the main character of some nursery rhyme, like Wee Willie Winky or something? Wow, when I say that out loud, that name's... That's a poem for children?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. So wait, while we're on the theme of being afraid of the dark, I don't think I was truly afraid of the dark. I don't even remember having a nightlight, at least not, you know, in my conscious childhood. But what I do remember, and I wonder if I've told you about this before, but it's still like an unsolved mystery in my life, Matthew. Robert Stack style.
Robert Stack is on the case, yes.
So once I remember, like, sitting up in bed, or I wasn't quite asleep yet, and I was in a double bed. I had this growing up.
Not yours, but a double bed.
No, I was in my own double bed. Growing up, I had a double bed that had been like in my dad's house. My dad was like 50 when I was born, and he had had a first marriage and a first family. And anyway, this double bed.
And a leftover bed. Yeah, that's just what you want.
He had this leftover bed, and that was my childhood bed. And I remember once, I don't know if I had gotten out of bed to use the bathroom. I don't know if I just was having trouble getting to sleep, but I remember sitting up in my bed to sort of rearrange the covers, and I remember pulling the bedspread closer to me and something pulling it back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I have to imagine that I must have, like, bolted out of the bedroom.
So in retrospect, obviously it was that it was, like, tucked under, right?
No, I don't think it was tucked under. Okay. I don't know if it's just that, like, I pulled it really weakly and it was like a heavy bedspread or something. But this is an unsolved mystery from my childhood, Matthew. I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll get Stack and his minions involved, and they'll, like, solve it, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what? Wait, did they always solve the mysteries? I don't know if I've ever even seen that show. Did they solve the mysteries or not?
Well, no, they were unsolved mysteries, and there was always a phone number that flashed across the screen that you could call if you had any information.
Did you ever call that number?
No, but oh my gosh, what a missed opportunity. I'm going to put up a Craigslist missed opportunity ad for an unsolved mysteries episode.
Is missed opportunities the same as missed connections, or is it just for...
Oh, you're right.
Or is it literally just for, like, you know, I should have applied for the promotion and I didn't. I'm going to post on missed opportunities.
Let's launch this website.
Okay.
Where we can all post our missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities.party.
Like I threw out that bacon fat. I could have cooked some potatoes.
That's
in.
Exactly it. Yes. Way to bring it back around to food.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wait, I have a fear.
Oh, yes, please.
I know that you mentioned here on the agenda that you were scared of violent movies or TV shows. And I want to come back to that.
Okay.
But did you ever have the experience of being at a slumber party or at someone else's house and sort of by, like, subtle peer pressure having to watch a movie that later haunted you for years?
Absolutely.
So I was at Leslie Fretwell's house. Leslie Fretwell, daughter of Ed Fretwell of Ed Fretwell's Soup.
Of Soup fame, right.
Yeah.
So Leslie Fretwell, heiress to the Soup fortune.
Exactly. I was at her house for some sort of birthday slumber party or something, and everybody decided to watch Child's Play, the movie with the
Chucky.
Possessed
yeah.
doll, Chucky. I spent years, Matthew, years, and you would think since I was old enough to attend a slumber party, you would think that I would not have been old, like, young enough to be this frightened. But I was afraid of Chucky for what felt like years. Like,
I'm still scared of horror movies.
I would be scared to, like, go around a corner and find Chucky there being like, whatever he said, come out and play.
He said, hey, pay no mind. You're under 18. You won't be doing any time. I'm also under 18 because I'm a doll. Okay, couple things. First of all, speaking of dolls, I asked why...
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like we've mentioned that song many times on the show.
No, but it's never been so right.
Yeah,
it's never felt so right.
I asked wife of the show, Lori, if she had any childhood fears of note, and she said the one that immediately came to mind was one of her siblings had a she described as slightly smaller than Barbie sized Wicked Witch of the West doll. It was, like, green, and she said, like, it under the dress was green also.
I love that she checked.
Yes, and said, like, this just knowing this doll was like, lurking nearby was a source of much terror.
Oh, my God. I remember going over to the home of a girl who I wasn't, like, really good friends with, but, you know, it was sort of like, you know, we had a play date. She had an E.T. doll. propped up in her closet, and it
was scary. Yeah,
I was terrified. I think that that's probably why our friendship did not go any further, because I was so frightened of this doll. Like, I quietly did not want to go back to her house ever again.
Every time you went to her house, you had to phone home to say, please pick me up. I'm scared of ET.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so speaking of violent movies and TV shows, my parents, especially my mom, like was not like a very strict parent, but really put her foot down about what?
I'm still laughing about Chucky being like, you're only 18 and so am I. I mean, you're under 18 and so am I because I'm a doll.
I mean, that's what he said.
That is exactly what he said. Okay, sorry.
Right,
go ahead.
Started because he said, come out and play. I haven't seen the movie. That probably was his catchphrase. I don't know.
I don't remember what he said.
And he also
Chucky
said,
phone home.
I'm just a sucker with low self-esteem. Yeah, he said, Chucky flown home. It was so moving when Chucky made the bikes fly in front of the moon. But he's constantly eating my M&M's or Reese's Pieces, whichever one it was in the movie. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Okay, you were saying something. All right, go on.
It's not going to be as good as that. But so my mom was not super strict, but would really put her foot down about two things that I recall: violent movies and TV shows, and sweet sugar cereals. And so as a result, like I was, first of all, like now I will eat sugar cereals like whenever I can get my hands on them, which is anytime because I'm a grown up. And so I've got a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch right now. But also, I was like insufficiently desensitized to violence on television. And so, like, to this day, like, people are like, you know, you haven't watched Game of Thrones. I'm like, no, it's like too violent for me.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Wait a minute. What things do you think you are strict about?
Like, you know, music practice, probably, you know, but I don't know. Like, I think of myself as strict about pretty much nothing, but it's probably not true.
Yeah, I don't know what June is going to say I'm strict about.
I think it's probably like too early to tell.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No, now's about the right time. Because like if you'd asked me when I was seven, I would have said, yeah, like I'm not allowed to eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch or watch. God, what was even like a violent TV show at the time? The thing that came to mind was Spencer for Hire, which was probably already over by then.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. I was not allowed to watch Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, so this doesn't really happen anymore because now there's like Netflix Kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Netflix Kids has fixed violent entertainment.
They have. Anyway,
I exclusively have mine set to Netflix Kids, so I can't accidentally watch The Witcher or something.
Okay.
But the two specific things I remember watching that gave me nightmares were, one was an episode of Amazing Stories. Do you remember this show? I think it was like created by Steven Spielberg, speaking of E.T. And it was like a, you know, variety, like, you know, fantasy, horror, you know, light entertainment, 30-minute episodic stories. And there was one where I think it was kind of based on the movie Weird Science, but these two kids, they discover like a serum that if they like put it on a picture of something, that thing will come to life. And they, of course, try and use this to like bring like the perfect woman to life. And every one of their tries is like a, you know, a horrific screw up of some kind. Like, you know,
like the woman in the bathtub in The Shining, like, you know,
right.
You pull back
and
the
so
curtain,
the one,
it's not
the
at all
one
what
that,
you expect.
Yeah. That freaked me the fuck out was they made a woman who had like a top half, but no bottom half. And it was just like a torso and head sitting on a table. And I was like, I could still visualize what this looked like. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen on television.
So I remember having a babysitter, like, I remember watching television with a babysitter as a child, and this was in the early days of remote controls. Do you remember your family's first, like, remote control?
I do, yes. It was very exciting.
Ours was, it was, like, shiny metal, and all the buttons on it were raised, and they were all, like, perfectly rounded.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Anyway, were they kind of clicky?
Yes, they were clicky. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember her clicking through, and I remember her, I may have told you about this, but she stopped on this, I don't know if it was a TV show or a movie or whatever, but it was, the image on the screen was of a woman's torso from above. Mm-hmm. And somebody was taking like a sharp blade and cutting through her skin while she was alive.
Ew.
Like straight down, like a vertical line between her breasts. And she's screaming. Ew. She's in the woods. She's being like vivisected. And the babysitter must have lingered on this for probably 0.2 seconds. But
oh, sure.
It was seared in my mind. And I think I spent months after that, whenever I would like flip through channels, like peering through my eyes. I mean, peering through my eyes.
Of course. Yeah. You don't know what they're going to show next.
But I would peer through my eyes is what I said, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. 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 That is a great one of the best things to peer through.
But peering through my fingers because I was so afraid. Like that was the thing about like TV in the old days, you didn't know what you were going to be confronted with.
That's
as
right.
As you were like flipping channels, you didn't know if you were going to see a woman being vivisected in the woods.
Is flipping channels still a thing, or are there now like so many channels or like, you know, streaming that you just kind of choose proactively?
When I am in an environment where I am like confronted with what is a regular TV in these yeah. days, you know, I find myself completely baffled by it because...
Oh, yeah, there's, like, what source do you choose, right?
I can't, like, you can't, it's very difficult to just click through now. Like, and also, like, channel, you know, the news stations used to be channel 4, 5, and 9.
Right.
And now they're, like, 104... 105, 933.
And speaking
or something
of 104,
like that.
That's how old we sound having this conversation.
Yeah.
These new TVs, how do you even turn it on?
No, but seriously, I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
It's the worst.
Okay.
So there was Amazing Stories. The other thing that I saw that I was not prepared for was the movie RoboCop 2, which,
okay.
So like some friends invited me along to see RoboCop 2. I'm like, that sounds good. I haven't seen RoboCop 1, but I'm sure this will be fun. Way too violent for me. It was very upsetting. And I just now checked.
Were you peering through your eyes?
I was peering through my eyes at the screen. I think I had my eyes closed for a lot of RoboCop 2. And I just checked, how old was I when I saw RoboCop 2?
16.
Almost 15.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Did you tell your friends how distressed you were? Or were
no,
you trying
of
to
course
play it
not.
Cool? Yeah.
No, I had to play it cool.
Can't. Yeah.
These were cool RoboCop friends.
Yeah. I'm getting that feeling. Okay, wait. I have a couple of like family dynamics related fears.
Please.
That I had as a child. One, I was terrified that my parents would get divorced.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Were you like, did you spend a lot of time thinking
Not
about this?
Not at all. I don't know why. Like, it just didn't seem plausible.
I was also really terrified that my parents would have another child. Like, did not
oh,
want
Oh, now that is scary.
I was genuinely distressed by it. And my mom has always really loved babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever friends or like my aunts or whatever would have a baby, my mom would always be very like eager to hold the baby or to help out. And this would raise this like crazy hot fear in me. I mean,
that is not a crazy hot fear.
Not like crazy sexy fear.
Oh, no, crazy sexy fear is my favorite TLC album.
It would raise this like adrenaline in me. Like I hated that my mom liked babies so much because to me, like liking babies equals my parents are going to have another kid. And this was a terrible, terrible fear of mine.
Oh, that's interesting. So after my brothers were born, my mom told me that she had gotten her tubes tied. So I did not have to worry about that. But like,
did you understand that?
Right. Having two younger brothers show up, like it couldn't have gotten any worse than that. So I guess I wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
The fear came true in like the biggest possible way, but we get along fine now.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you do a podcast with one of your brothers.
That's true. I do. I do a podcast called Hidden Jukebox with my brother Jake.
Indeed.
And I hardly resent at all anymore, like, how he got all the attention.
Yeah, you hardly ever think of it or think to mention it.
Right.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I feel like there is a time when you're a young kid when you just don't have any sense of like what is real and what is not within what is within the realm of possibility and what isn't. And so like a slightly older kid can scare you by convincing you of something completely stupid. And the thing I have in mind is there was a playground rumor going around one day when I was in like probably second grade that a panther had been spotted on the roof of the school, and definitely someone was going to get mauled by a panther before the day was over.
And you were genuinely afraid.
Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't like 100% believe it, but like, it seemed possible enough that I definitely was afraid that I was going to get mauled by a panther at school.
It makes me think of those moments when on the playground, some kid would decide to like pull some prank or to rile everybody up in a certain way. And you could watch it like spread like a contagion through the playground. And you would get swept up in it, too, even though you didn't really believe it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
God, I hated those kids. I wonder what they're doing now.
Oh, those kids? Oh, they're probably like spreading fake news internet rumors.
No, I think that they're probably making lots of money and living in fancy places and ruining the environment and stuff.
Okay, probably. I mean, they could be doing both of those things. We could both be right.
That's true.
What else you got?
Okay, I was extremely afraid of loud noises.
That's fair.
I think, and I still experience this to a certain degree, like if I'm in the car and somebody else turns up the volume on the radio, or like, let's say you start playing a song, but the song hasn't really kicked in yet, and somebody turns up the volume and you're like, wait, I know that's going to be way too loud when it starts. That makes me feel like so tense. The thought of being like assaulted by a loud noise.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I listen to music at a real like dad volume, and not like a metal dad, but like a suburban. I don't know. I
like loud music now if I'm in control of it. But what I was going to say is that as a kid, what this translated to was a fear of the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, for sure.
Super afraid of the vacuum cleaner, and also. Like when I was old enough to start going to concerts and things like that, even before I was old enough to go to like shows with my peers, and my peers were similarly cautious, like they would wear earplugs to shows and stuff.
Oh, you didn't have cool RoboCop friends.
I did not have cool RoboCop friends. But even when I was like a young kid and my parents would take me to concerts, I remember feeling this surge of adrenaline when the music would come on, even if it was just like some sort of outdoor picnic concert, because it would be so loud.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, what a tender boo-boo.
Yeah, no, I was similarly tender in the boo-boo.
Yeah.
Okay. So another of mine, oh, you know what? That actually reminds me, like I have a loud noise fear also. I think we've talked about this on the show before that when I was young, my dad worked at a company called Precision Cast Parts. I still don't really know what they made, like some sort of like cast metal shit for like industrial use.
That sounds cool.
And I got to like go visit him at work one day and he took me to the machine floor, which was... It was like the set of a movie where like at the end of Terminator 2 when they're like fighting in the factory and the factory is just kind of like a like generic, like scary, big, scary machines factory. That's what it seemed like. Mm-hmm. I guess technically mm-hmm. that's a steel mill, but, you know, like a movie factory where it's just loud and clanky and there's like fire coming out of things. I don't think there was really fire coming out of things, but I was like, never, ever take me here again.
Mm-hmm. I
think he thought I would think it was cool.
Yeah. I think some kids would. Like,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, like, I think of all my friends' kids who love watching construction equipment.
Yeah. And I think I did like watching construction equipment, but from a safe distance.
Yeah. Yeah. When it was at a dad volume.
Exactly.
Matthew, I remember as like a adolescent and teenager being sufficiently worried about sex hurting that it was hard for me to feel truly excited or like anticipating of sex because I was so afraid it was going to hurt.
I mean, that seems like a reasonable fear.
But I never, like, I don't hear other women express it, you know?
I mean,
I think in general, I was much more afraid of things hurting when I was a kid. Like, I really did not like, I was very risk averse and I was afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think like, I'm just talking like way outside of my experience, of course, but I think like that is like a fear that, that a lot of women legitimately have, but are probably embarrassed to express.
Yes.
Right.
And this is the part of the show that's not very funny, like, you know, vaginal pain, mm-hmm. something a lot of women deal with. But anyway,
right. But,
I remember.
I mean, of course.
I just remember my anticipation about sex being so tempered by like the fear, not even so much of pregnancy, but of like, yeah, the pain of like one's hymen rupturing.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that turn out? We don't have to talk about that.
Oh, you know, I think I was lucky. I think it was fine.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Thanks.
So one of my biggest fears, like from childhood on into adolescence and beyond, I think was the fear of that if I liked someone in a romantic sense, that they would find out. And I know we've talked about this before, but I have this vivid memory of when I was in middle school that I went over to my friend Ben's house and we were talking about, like, you know, what girls did we like? And I did not want to, like, admit, like, the name of the girl that I liked. Even though we went to a small school, there were probably like 12 girls in our class. So like he could have figured it out just by deduction. But I remember finally agreeing to write down the name on a piece of paper and hand it to him if he promised to like tear it up and throw it away.
Oh, that's really safe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But hold on. I'm thinking about this as you're talking and like, number one, I think that it is such a normal thing and like an impulse that somehow human beings have to like, especially when you're like first experiencing attraction to someone, to mm-hmm. not want anybody to know or not want that person to know, especially. But I wonder what it is that makes some people outgrow this and other people not so much. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I ever got to a point of like self-confidence or whatever it was, where if I was into someone, I could just like openly flirt with them or hit on them or ask them out. Like, I had moments of being able to do that, but I was much older, much older. And I still found it almost unbearably direct.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think my guess is like there's a very small number of people who just like aren't scared of that. And then a larger number who are just as scared as we are, but like manage to like push through the fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, first of all, okay, now I can be told the girl that I liked in seventh grade was Liz. Don't remember her last name or pretty much anything else about her. But I do remember
her
name was Liz.
I totally remember who I had a crush on in seventh grade, first name and last name.
Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, do I remember any last
names? You're going to let me say his name or not,
man. Oh, sorry. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Chris Stakem. I had a massive crush on him.
We've talked about Chris Stakem because how could you forget the name?
How can you forget that name?
Chris Stakem, say hi. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. You're not listening to this bonus episode.
No,
never mind.
You are not listening to this bonus episode, dude.
I know the names of
this
our subscribers.
This is
I would
a
know
safe
if Stakem
space.
Was a subscriber. Mm-hmm.
Well, if anybody listening knows Chris Stakem, you should let him know. I really had the hots for him, like when we were in middle school. Nothing ever came of it. And, you know, that is totally fine.
And I just realized the thing I said was like kind of creepy. Like, I don't like literally have memorized all of the names of our subscribers. That would be weird.
Yes, you have. You
sleep
with a list.
But I mean, like, I wouldn't say
pillow.
It that way unless probably I had. So,
wait a minute. There's another name I want to call out in
please.
This safe space.
Yeah.
So, someone I was really afraid of. During childhood, was my childhood dentist.
Oh, I loved my dentist.
I was so afraid of my childhood dentist. And I think it was about more than just dentistry. Like
I was going to ask, like, was it completely unrelated to dental fears?
It was, I had like a lot of dental problems as a kid, a lot of cavities to be filled, shit like that. But he, I think, was uniquely bad at giving Novocaine shots. Like,
oh,
they were excruciating.
Sure.
And he he was not good at remaining patient with me. Now, I don't know that I would have remained patient with me either.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying, "Open up, honey. You're doing all right. You're doing all right."
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's like something Chucky would say.
It was. And then he said, "Do you want to come out and play?" Anyway.
Like, how can I? I'm in this dentist chair.
Anyway, his name was anyway, I think he was probably a pretty normal childhood, you know, pediatric dentist in the 80s. But dude, like, wow, his Novocaine shots were the worst. He set me up for years of being afraid of dentistry.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely like still afraid of getting a filling.
I'm not really anymore, but it's taken like a lot of personal work to like not freak out. To no longer freak out when I go to the dentist.
I feel like on the whole, doctors have gotten better. Like maybe it's medical schools, like have gotten better at emphasizing like bedside manner.
Yes.
Because I feel like except for like sometimes like if I see like a specialist who kind of like doesn't have to be nice because like
yes.
they're the only person who can help you, then they can still be like a gruff old doctor. But in general, like I can't really remember the last time I saw a doctor or PA who wasn't super, super nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm still chuckling at the thought that his name was Ash and I recently rewatched the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Ever since then, I've been working on my Gollum voice, which is just not great. Ash says that my Gollum voice is very close to baby talk. The precious. Ash is like, oh, the precious.
Okay. Well, now I can hear it. Yep.
But you know what I'm really good at? You know when he coughs and says the word Gollum?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm really good
well,
at that.
That was, yeah.
Right?
It was I'm like Gollum was here in the room with me.
Yeah, I know. I have a couple more things I was scared of.
I was going to say, like I was going to like try and bring it close to the romance conversation, which is that I recall my freshman year of college, again, having the experience where there was like someone in my class that I thought was really smart and nice looking and did not do anything that could possibly be construed as making a move. I basically never even spoke to her. I don't know why.
In college, the only people that I ever made moves on were people who I would like see in a class, but I didn't know them at all. If I had gotten to know them at all, or if I was in a class with them where we actually had interaction, I could not bring myself to approach them like about my interest in them.
Yeah.
It was only if I like didn't know them at all. And it never worked out. It never worked out.
Yeah. No, I remember in high school, I did ask a girl if she would like go to the mall with me. and she said yes, but then later, like before the day of the mall date, she said that she had a lot of homework to do and couldn't make it.
The old homework excuse.
So that was very scarring. Thanks a lot, yeah. Emily. Don't remember her last name either.
I love that this has turned out to be our call out episode.
Of course it is.
Is there anybody else you want to call out while we're here in this private room, subscribers only?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, cool. All right. Well,
Chucky,
Matthew,
thanks a lot for stabbing me in the heart, literally.
Yeah, but he did make those bikes fly, so.
He did, yeah. It was so hard to stay mad at Chucky.
It was just a single bike, I think, actually, now that I remember.
In
right?
E.T., wasn't it multiple bikes? Or was it just one?
Was that toward the end?
I think it was toward the end. I think it was like Elliot and his friends, but God, I haven't seen that in forever.
Do you remember that movie when we were kids? It took place in Fort Lauderdale, and there was a kid and like a little alien that looked like a worm.
Was it Mac and Me?
No, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was, The Navigator.
Oh, Flight of the Navigator?
Flight of the Navigator. I love that movie.
Yes, I did see that.
And that was the first time I ever learned that there was a place called Fort Lauderdale.
Wow, that's, yeah. Where was I when I learned about Fort Lauderdale? Like, it's unforgettable, obviously.
It is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Are there any are there any words that you totally messed up as a child that you would like read it on paper and you would be sure you had it down, but then you would say it?
I don't remember. Like I was shy about like trying to say the word, but I remember like being completely perplexed by the word hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, that seems real.
Yeah. Any others?
I'm trying to think of. I feel like there must have been place names that I got all wrong as a child.
Yeah, is it
like
Fort Lauderdale or Fort Lauderdale?
Who knows? Anyway, Matthew, you know, to be fair, my other fears, I think, were more like. Well, I think I have one more that I think would be interesting to share. So, you know, when we were kids, kidnapping was something that was like in the news all the time.
That's fair.
This
yeah.
was even in the pre like Amber Alert era. Kidnapping was so on the national consciousness in the 80s. Remember the kids on milk cartons, of course?
Yeah, of course.
But also, like, there would be these moments during the news when they would just like flash up photo after photo of children who were missing. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, that was terrifying.
It was like a fucking epidemic of children missing. Is it still that way and that we just let them go and we don't care now?
Yeah, that's what it is. Nowadays, people are a lot more chill about, like,
murders and missing children.
Just another kidnapping. Like, I got things to watch.
But what I was going to say is that, I mean, I remember this feeling so present to me that I was terrified to be left alone in the car, like while my mom ran in anywhere. And it wasn't yet that era when like you as a parent could get the cops called on you for leaving your kid in the car. As
right.
I've heard of people.
Oh, yeah.
Doing
I remember
now.
Being left in the car.
But I remember being left in the car a fair amount. And I always was so scared, like, I mean, terrified, breathless until my mother got back.
Well, I mean, do you want to like really get into like what was going on there?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me.
Because
I
mean,
what was going on there?
The kids on milk cartons, like the vast, vast majority were family, like, you know, custody dispute kidnappings.
Really?
Oh, probably 99%. Yes.
Oh, I had no idea. I mean, I thought the kids were just being like snatched out of cars and homes the time.
Stranger kidnappings were then, are now, and have always been extremely rare. And so,
I mean, who wants to take a kid and take care of it?
Like, rare, right. Extremely. Yes, let's go with that. Like, extremely rare, but also like the most upsetting thing that can happen. And so you hear about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what was going on. And I'm not like dismissing this, like, you know, a family kidnapping is okay somehow, but I think it puts it in a different context.
Right. Well, anyway, as a kid, you know, I was terrified of being left in the car. And I remember, like, just the sense of dread that would come over me. And it's so interesting now when I leave June in the car, which I still do sometimes because...
With a lit candle
and a sparkler and a lit cigarette. I'm aware that like I could have the cops called on me, and I think that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
I leave her in the car in a place where all signs point to her being safe. She does not have this fear at all. She sits there and like hums to herself and waits for me to come back. And I am so, it's so interesting, these moments of parenthood where I can recognize that I myself had or have like a concern that she does not need to know about. She doesn't share it at all. And we are different people.
Yeah, and she's confident that you'll always come back within like 8 or 15 hours.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't have to worry.
I mean, especially if I've left her with a meal and with a candle. I mean, she's
fine. And like a
fine.
Yeah, package of sparklers so she can, yes, so she can like keep lighting them one after another.
On the candle.
And also a carton of Marlboros.
Yeah, I always keep the sunroof open so that the smoke has a place to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just like what any caring parent would do.
Sometimes she likes to play, what was it called? Snapdragon, or what was it that we talked about playing
the game,
in the car?
The game where you burn your fingers, like reaching into a fire to get raisins?
Yes. That thing we talked about playing it in the car with the sunroof open.
Yeah. I think when I meant to say raisins, but it came out craisins. But you can play it with craisins also.
Sure. What episode was that?
Raisins, maybe? Did we do a raisin episode?
Did we
I think
do
we
like
talked
a
about
flambe
it on like five
episode?
Different episodes.
Well, it's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, I don't think we've done a flambe episode, but we did make Bananas Foster probably on the banana episode.
That was so much
but
better than
I expected.
But I
don't think you would play Snapdragon with bananas because they would squish when you grab them.
Imagine the burns you would get. Too.
Yeah, so
like stuff
like
to your fingers.
Banana napalm squirting out. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's enough.
So now that's what I'm scared of now is a fiery banana.
Okay.
That's going to scald me in my car.
So, Matthew, what have we learned?
Oh, I mean, we learned that, well, like that the worst thing that can happen to you is like the person you have a crush on will find out.
Yeah.
That remains true.
Yeah, it does. It remains true.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's sort of what your upcoming book, The Fixed Stars, is about, which you should pre-order now.
Yeah, that is what it's about. Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. Oh my God, Matthew, thanks for making that connection.
You're welcome.
The Fixed Stars will be out August 4th, as far as I know. It's sadly been postponed, but because of the situation we're living in right now.
Because
anyway,
of the situation,
tuned,
that guy from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, where you can learn about a crush I had and was super scared about it coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great book. It has a lot in common with this show in that it's got Molly's inimitable voice. It also has things that are not in
Matthew's
common with the
editing.
Show, which is that it's a serious book that may actually like teach you things and be moving.
Oh, thanks, Matthew.
You're welcome.
It was also, I should say that Matthew played a huge role in midwifing this book, really.
I did, yeah. My midwifery skills were tested, and I like to think I came through.
Mm-hmm. You did.
All right, so thank you for supporting the show. Like, I know some of you now have been supporting the show for, like, many years, and we could not be more grateful.
It is just so amazing, especially through this weird garbagey time we're living in, to get to sit down with you, my friend Matthew, and still get to be dumb on mic and get to make each other laugh.
And to be clear, we're not sitting down.
And get to share that with other people.
Together.
together.
We're sitting down in our studio spaces. In Molly's closet, my dining room table. It is wonderful, and we're so glad you can join us.
I think we would have given up a long time ago if it weren't for you guys.
I certainly would have given it up if not for you, Molly, because otherwise I would be just sitting in my dining room talking to myself, which I can which I can do anytime.
Yeah.
We've got a new thing that, like, we should be announcing by the time you hear this. So maybe this will be the first you've heard of it. But we have a new spinoff limited series called Dire Desires, Life Lessons from Classic Erotic Thrillers.
We had started listening to or watching erotic thrillers together on our Spilled Milk corporate retreat last year. We decided to turn it into a new show.
So that should be debuting
erotic thrillers
very soon. Check DireDesiresPodcast.com and see if anything pops up.
Yeah.
So until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that's been making bicycles fly since 2010.
That's true. Thanks for being our cool RoboCop friends.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. I think we've been doing it for like 6 years.
Wow. Good for us.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.